requesting forgiveness. It's a very beautiful ceremony that I've come to be quite fond of, that is very commonly practiced in Thailand, where we ask each other mutually for forgiveness for anything we might have done, if we have intentionally or unintentionally, by body, speech or mind, caused offense to each other, kind of asking for forgiveness. So I can already tell you, you have not. But it's a very beautiful thing to do, because it just brings to mind this fact that we can ask forgiveness from each other. And not just if we've done something that might have hurt each other's feelings, but even if we're not aware of it. It's a very beautiful gesture to say, I ask for forgiveness. There's a very beautiful little anecdote I'd like to share with you regarding this asking for forgiveness. So this is just a ceremonial form, a ceremonial way of doing it. But these ceremonies have a purpose, is that they allow to give form to intentions. But in terms of a more kind of spontaneous or in situ story, Lompo told me this very beautiful story when he was abbot here many years ago. In the morning at breakfast time, he was giving a reflection, and he was just kind of encouraging people to remember to attend community meetings, coming to morning and evening puja, and joining in work together. And so whenever there were communal activities, encouraging everyone to join in. And this is when we live as a community, is something that the senior monk has to do out of compassion very often. Socks fall, they need to be pulled back up. So he was just doing it as part of what he does. And there was this gentleman who was staying in the monastery, who had ordained as an Anagarika, who just got up and started getting very angry because he thought Lompo was admonishing him personally. Even though he wasn't, he took it personally, and he got up and he started swearing and cussing and calling, shouting at Lompo and calling him names. And this was in front of the whole Sangha. And Lompo just stayed there. And he told me he just used the sound of silence. Stay with the sound of silence. And can you just allow this to be what it is? The reactions that arose, just let them be what they are, but not to follow anything, and just stay with the space and the silence. And the guy kind of threw his fit and stomped out of there. And then the members of the Sangha turned to Lompo and say, how can you let him speak to you like that? You should have said something. And he just kept his silence. But he went back to his kuti, and then after lunch he asked his upatak to invite that gentleman to come and see him at his kuti. So he's waiting at the kuti, and there comes a knock on the door. And he opens the door, and Lompo's quite tall, was even taller before he started shrinking a bit. And so quite a physically quite impressive. And he opens the door, and this guy was rather short. And he was standing there with his fists really kind of tight up, like he was physically ready for a fight. And Lompo invited him in and said, I wanted to apologize, because what I said this morning, I realize, upset you a lot, and I was not saying it as anything personal towards you or anybody, actually, but I realize it hurt you and made you very upset, and I wanted to apologize for that. And I was very moved by this story, because it's very rare that people do that unless they really care for each other, and it's very rare from a senior monk in these communities we live in, do have a hierarchical form. And more often than not, I've seen the senior monk kind of do something like that and just cruise on, letting the newbie, so to speak, sort of sort out his own karma. And so this is a very compassionate thing to do. And it stayed with me. And I have a tendency to kind of be sensitive to whether people are upset or not, and if I took kind of the story to heart, and any circumstances or occasions that arose where I found myself in a similar situation, I aspired to do the same thing if I could. And it is magic how much it smooths out bad feelings between people. And this gentleman ended up staying and chatting and being very friendly with Lompal. He decided to leave because maybe this was kind of the last straw in terms of an accumulation of things. So he figured maybe the training, monastic training, wasn't meant for him. But Lompal told him, because he had been very helpful in the monastery the whole time he was here. And so Lompal told him if he ever needed a recommendation, he'd be happy to write one for him. And sure enough, shortly after leaving the monastery, he came back and asked if Lompal would just write a little letter for him. So that's the beauty of this forgiveness. So we just did it in form of a ceremony, but it's good to keep in mind. It's not very difficult to do, and it goes a long way. And also, if we ask for forgiveness like that, we're not necessarily implying that we did something wrong. We're just apologizing that whatever happened hurt someone else's feelings, and we didn't mean that. So it's a very caring thing to do. So I'd like to encourage you to take home with you from this retreat these encouragements and reminders that I've offered, coming back to cultivating awareness, trusting awareness. So I'm aware that for most of you, going back to your daily lives is not going to be the same environments as what we all enjoyed this weekend, peaceful and spacious. And but sometimes in the world there can be a lot of distractions from living in cities and with families and co-workers. So there's a lot more sensual impingement, can be more distracting. But it's still good environment for practice. The temple is the temple of the body with these six sense doors. And so to use that for the practice. And like I was trying to point out with that story this morning, using the small things of daily life, taking the opportunity of any little detail in life as an opportunity to kind of remind ourselves that whatever it is we're experiencing is an experience that arises in consciousness. And whatever the mood is, the emotion is, consciousness is aware of it. Consciousness isn't the mood, the emotion, the reaction, the experience. So that is something we all have the opportunity to do at any moment in life. And learning to trust that. Lompal often talks about encouraging us to trust awareness. If you listen to his talks, it's something he says quite often. And there's a beautiful wording when the Buddha is talking about the Noble Eightfold Path. He talks about right effort. So there are these four kinds of right effort. Abandon the unwholesome that has arisen. Preventing unwholesome that hasn't yet arisen. And then cultivating, giving rise to wholesome things that haven't yet arisen, and cultivating those that have arisen already. But what's interesting in this kind of the stock phrase that is used in the suttas to describe these four kinds of right effort, each of these four sections is prefaced by a little sentence that says, we give rise to desire, chanda, the Pali term that's used, generating the intention. And then once you've generated the intention, we endeavor, we put forth effort, we strive, and exert our intent. So I'm not a Pali scholar, but just looking at the English, the translation in English, there's a crescendo there. It's gradual. So sometimes we can find ourselves in situations in life where we find ourselves stuck and again in the same patterns of behavior and with the same emotions, and we just don't know how to get out of it, how to snap out of it. And it seems sometimes a long way from where we are to taking refuge in awareness with whatever it is that we're experiencing. So remember, generating desire, bringing up the intention in the mind. So we call it wishful thinking. Generating that wish, may I be free from this? How can I find a way to see through this, to see clearly, to see it in terms of Dhamma rather than in terms of me and what I like and don't like, what I want and don't want. So even if we're not seeing clearly, we can generate that desire to understand clearly something unwholesome that we're trying to relinquish or something wholesome that we'd like to give rise to. And it's a very compassionate teaching. It's not setting impossibly high standards, even though the ultimate goal of the path is complete liberation from suffering. The path really is something we can set a foot on with something as simple as that. At any time we find ourselves distracted, like how can I bring mindfulness and wisdom back into the picture? Just asking oneself that question, that is already generating desire, creating that intention. And so to trust that, that intention is a very powerful thing. So we generate that intention and then we come back to it and we sustain it and we nourish it until it starts becoming something we're leaning into. So part of trusting awareness, like awareness is always here. Sometimes it's described as, the Buddha describes that as the unborn, the uncreated, the unformed, the unconditioned. And other places in the suttas, he talks about it as something that is unlimited, bright, all-encompassing, pure. And whether we are able to have the insight of knowing pure consciousness without an object of consciousness, or whether we're still entangled in the world of sankharas, we're still experiencing consciousness. And so we can train ourselves to learn to start recognizing that. So I hope that this retreat was beneficial for all of you. Several people in the course of the retreat starting Friday evening already were asking me how it was going. And all I could say, it was going very well. I'm enjoying myself a lot, and I hope others are as well. And yesterday and today, every time people ask me, I enjoyed this a lot. And I thank you all for coming, attending this retreat. It means a lot that people are interested in practice and are willing to come and sit together and suffer together.